You said that. Great. Thanks, Carol. So welcome to the SOAR 8, which is the OA Region 8 Intergroup Outreach Committee. We call it IGOR. And this is the tip session. And the topic today is how to grow and develop new groups or meetings. My name's Robin V. I'm a compulsive overeater and sugar addict and member of the IGOR committee and your moderator for this session. And I'd like to introduce our IGOR committee before we get started. The members are, oops, that's my dog Max. He's not a member. Sarah S., our committee chair, and our members, Carol H., Pat F. from Bat, and Carol's from Southwest Alabama. Sorry, I've got to pick him up. Sorry, thought I had him scheduled for to play with his food toy, but he's not doing that. So, let's see. Carol H from Southwest Alabama, now in North Carolina. Pat F from Baton Rouge. Roz S from Southwest Florida, and our committee's mentor Michelle D, who serves also as the SOAR 8 treasurer and helps our IGOR committee with advice and access to region resources and supports. So I'd like to start with the Serenity Prayer and invite our higher power to join us in this meeting. God,
God,
grant me the serenity
to
to of
that the chains
the
we
prayers I
cannot
cannot
change,
change,
courage
courage
to
to change
change
things I
that
can,
can,
and
and
the
wisdom
wisdom to know
to
the
make the
difference.
difference that will never be done.
Thank you all. So I want to introduce the tip session, the series. This is the second. These sessions were started in response to a survey of the SOAR 8 intergroup representatives. And the first session was held 2 months ago. We're holding these every other month. And the last one was on the topic of using the public information professional outreach resources to let people know about OA and reach the still suffering compulsive overeater. And you can see the video or listen to the audio recording of that session on the OA Region 8 website. And just click on the Learn More link that's underneath the tips graphic. And this session is also being recorded so that it will be available resource to our membership. So let's get started. We have two great speakers this evening, and it'll be followed by Q&A and open sharing by the evening's participants. And so we'll have each of our speakers will share for about 15 minutes. Our first speaker for the evening is Kimmy H, who will tell us about an amazing speaker meeting that started after the pandemic started, and it's called Better Together. Someone just happened to tell me about that meeting back in December when I was seeking some new program inspiration. And when I got in the meeting, it felt kind of like a face-to-face meeting. People were welcoming me. They celebrated abstinence with joy. There was a spirit of fun, and the speakers were inspirational. And without further ado, I'd like to introduce Kimmy to tell us how the Better Together nightly meeting got started, how it grew, what it's like now, and what worked and what didn't. And I'll let you speak now. I'll mute.
Thank you. Thanks, Robin. Thank you so much. It's so funny because I'm babysitting a dog this week and he looks exactly like that dog. And I was just holding him. It's literally like the twin of that dog. So, but maybe he'll come back around. Anyway, my name's Kimmy. I'm a compulsive overeater and a bulimic. My abstinence date is November 6, 2016. When I say, if anybody's new, I'm sure that nobody's new, but I always say this when I talk, because it can be very confusing for newcomers. What does abstinence mean to each individual? My abstinence is I don't binge and purge, and I have not since November 6, 2016. That's not my first abstinent date. I really hope it's my last, and I'm very, very grateful for it. I have a sponsor. Her name is Monica, and I have a home group, and it's Better Together. The meeting that you just talked about. And I appreciate you asking me. I feel like we've talked months ago. And so it's nice to be here. It's nice to see, service at work. I mean, this is great. This is great. So I'm glad to be here. I tend to talk a lot, so my time will go fast. So I'm going to try to like stay on topic, because that's another thing I can do, is make it all about me and tell you all about my story. But I just want to try to tell you how Better Together got started. So first of all, just some facts about Better Together. We are a meeting, a Zoom meeting that meets every night of the week at 8 p.m. Central Time. We are a speaker meeting every night of the week. There are certain days of the week that we do something different. So like on Monday, we are a tradition and step. Wednesday, it's a literature meeting. So any piece of OA literature, the speaker will read. Monday's tradition. Oh, and Friday, we call it Fun Friday. So people, the way that started was that we picked a silly topic or something and people would talk about it. We've had a dance party on that night. We've had artists share stuff, but mostly we just have speaker. And a lot of people that come wear hats. Now they put it in the script, like, oh, wear your hat. And so people put on hats and come on Friday. So Friday, fun day, but we meet every night of the week. We have a little pre-game before, probably about 20 minutes before, where people chat and talk. But really, another thing we're famous for, I guess, is our after party. So we have something called the Afterglow, which is basically a two-hour fellowship. It used to be 4 hours, so we had to like nip that in the bud. But 2 hours, people stay on, and we usually have the speaker stay on for a half hour if they can. Sometimes they stay longer, sometimes they stay shorter, and it becomes like a Q&A session for the newcomer, or just conversation, really. And a lot of times it will turn out to be a topic of something somebody's struggling with. There are usually 2 to 3 moderators at any time, but really, though, it's more of an informal discussion group that talks about real world issues. So you could say, and there's, it's not a structured meeting, so anything goes at that meeting. And we've had people talk, get really deep emotional and talk about everything from their relationships to their food, to their job problems, to their family. Everything. And people love it. We also have something like that on Saturday morning, where we have a topic and we have a couple of people who lead a discussion group about that topic. So that all came later. So let me tell you how that started. So Better Together, I am always lived in Chicago, and I, a couple of years ago, got offered a job in California. At that time in my life, I had a really good life in Chicago. I mean, I've lived here my whole life. I came to OA through AA. I've been sober for 20 years. My whole community is in Chicago. All my family are Chicago police officers. Like, I'm totally Chicago, right? But I was unhappy. And I was struggling, and my mom had died, and I kind of fell apart, and tons of like trauma stuff and doing all this work and this extra work and therapy. And when my mom died, I had spent like 6 summers living in San Diego. And so when I got offered a job in California, I just felt like, and I make it sound like it just happened overnight. It was a job that kind of recruited me, took 6 months to kind of vet me. It was for the government. It was the best job I had ever been offered. And it was in sunny San Diego, in Coronado to be exact. And I'm like, I'm leaving because my mom's not here. I'm not married. I don't have children. Like, I can make friends anywhere. I'm going, right? And this is where I'm going to be happy. And if I'm being honest, this is where I'm going to be healthy, because even though I was sober and even though I was going to meetings, like I was still overweight, I was still regretting things I was putting in my mouth. I just wasn't happy. And I hated myself. That's the truth. I hated myself. Even at 10 years sober, even, this is later than 10 years sober, because now I've been 20 years sober. But I started coming into OA in 2010, but I'm not abstinent since 2016. So I would go and I would get a couple of days and hate myself for it and binge and binge and binge and couldn't stop. like most of us, right? And so I thought California was going to be the answer to all my problems. And that was the first lie. If you're new, I don't think anybody's new here, but I talked to a lot of new people. So it's kind of like, if you're new, the first lie is that if everything's on the outside, it's okay, I'm going to be okay. And I wasn't. So I went to California and in place of this new big job, had a big party. So got rid of my stuff, packed up my car, drove cross country for this new big adventure. By the way, I'm 55. This happened when I was like 52. So it wasn't like I had gotten a master's degree and which was amazing in itself. We don't have time for that story. But so I'm on my way to this big new job and this big new life. And 7 days later, I got there and I got fired. Now, I have no idea why I got fired, because I guess California doesn't have to tell you. And when I say fired, they kind of call it laid off, let go. It wasn't really by any of my own actions. But what I found myself was I was in California away from everything and everybody I knew. And I was grieving my mother. I felt like I was at one of the lowest points in my life. I wanted to go home and I didn't have a job. And that was why I came there. So now what do I do? So I started praying to be led and I started going to more OA meetings. I also went to ACA too, but I went to a lot of OA meetings at the Oasis. And there was a lot of people there that were like old enough to be my mom. So it was very healing for me to be around these women, and they got together and they dressed up and they went out to fellowship. And oh, I should backtrack. In Chicago, AA is phenomenal. OA sucks. That's the truth. Like, I haven't found a lot of OA that I loved. I would come into OA meetings in Chicago, and I'm sure that not all of it, but I'm pretty familiar with Chicago proper and know a lot of people in the recovery community. And I would go into an OA meeting and people's heads would be down. Nobody would talk. They would be sad. Everybody seemed really depressed and overweight. And I was like, I don't want what you have. I already have what you have. You know, like, I don't, and I came from AA and I'm loud extrovert. And, you know, so I think I know everything and they're all doing it wrong. And so I'm going to like change this meeting up. So it was like really unhappy. I would go to meetings. Most meetings have 5 people in it. I just was like, oh, I hate OA. Who wants to go to something called Overeaters Anonymous? But I also was binging and purging and throwing up like 14 times a day. And my AA sponsor took me to OA. Anyway, I think I'm a little all over the place. I'm sorry. I keep trying to turn my phone off with one hand too. But so, okay. So I'm in California. I'm kind of falling apart. I've been going OA on and off, on and off. I had been working the steps and things were getting better actually when I decided to make this move. And I had been abstinent. Yeah, I had been abstinent because I was abstinent. No, last time I binge and purge was in 2016, and this was 2019. So I had been abstinent, but I felt like something ain't right. You ever feel that way? Like, I'm an abstinent, but name only kind of, and something's not right. And I was doing the steps and I was working the steps and I had sponsees and I sponsored, but I still hated myself. And I had a lot of shame and I was doing therapy for all this trauma and my past, blah, blah, blah. Okay. I got to get to the meeting. We haven't even gotten to the meeting yet. Okay. But I'm in California and, I kind of had a breakdown, and this breakdown is important to my story. So I'm going to fast forward how I got to the breakdown and just talk about it. So what happened to me is that I fell apart in California, and what that looked like was I don't know what it is, maybe like a PTSD response where I was shaking and I was stuttering and I was seeing all these visions of like this childhood stuff and I didn't know what to do about it. So I called the therapist and the doctor and I just was freaking out. It's like I was having a seizure. And one time I was laying on this floor in this beautiful sunny apartment in California. And I was laying on the floor and it was like, I didn't know if I was awake or dreaming. And I had this vision. I was going down the basement steps. I was going down these dark, dirty basement steps and it smelled awful. And it was like water was pouring out. It was like Silence of the Lambs. Remember that movie when it goes down the stairs? It was like that. And so I go in there and I'm looking and I'm like, and it's all dark and it stinks really bad. And I'm afraid, I'm scared. And I look and there's a cage, like a dog cage. And in the cage, there's this little girl. She must've been 3 years old, tied handcuffed to the cage. And she is shaking and her clothes. I'm getting freaked out thinking about it now. Her clothes are ripped. She's got bruises. She's got blood on her. She's shivering. Like, she has been so hurt and she's starving. And I just run to the thing. And like one of those scared, timid dogs, I get down on my knees and I start talking to her. And I tell her, you know, I'm going to get us out of here. I'm going to get us out of here. You know, just come to me and I'm going to get us out of here. I'm going to take care of you. I'm not going to let bad men do mean things to you. I'm not going to talk mean to you. I'm not going to feed you poison. I'm not going to hit you. I'm not going to call you names. I'm going to take care of you. And I picked her up and I got us out of there. And this was so real to me, you guys. It was a spiritual experience. And I realized in that moment that that was me. Like, that was me. Now, I was a girl that had that kind of trauma, that has been starved, that has been abused, that has been violated, that has been locked up. I won't go into all the details because we don't have enough time. But like, this was me. And I was remembering something. And all those times you go to therapy and they tell you to talk to your inner child, and you're like, whatever, therapist, nobody wants to hear about inner child. This was it. This was little Kimmy, and the rubber had met the road, and I could no longer ignore little Kimmy. And I'm telling you, since that moment, what was that? That was February 2020. That moment, I fell in love with myself. I stopped like calling myself names. I stopped feeding myself the same things. I just stopped. I stopped hating myself. It was a miracle. It was like the shame was gone. It was like, and don't get me wrong, I was beating on myself today a little bit, you know, picking apart my clothes. It's not like how I used to be. That deep, dark shame that you can't lose, right? So the next thought I had was, I asked God, I said, God, I'm going home. And no, I felt like God said, go home. And I'm like, I'm going home. Like, that thought never occurred to me. It occurred to me that I had to stay in California and make this work. And I'm like, I'm going home. I packed up my stuff. I didn't have a plan. I didn't have a job. I didn't have an apartment, but I had lots of friends and family here, and somebody was going to let me stay on their couch. I parked my car March 4th. I moved back to Chicago. And the whole way, I feel like I'm being led by God. Like, I know I'm going to get a job. I'm confident about it. I don't have any fear at all at this point in my life. I have never operated without fear. So it was shocking. But I had this new confidence, this new like dependence on God, this new love for myself. And I was like, dude, I can do anything. I will do anything. I'm going to get a job. I'm going to get a great apartment by the lake. I'm going to figure it out. I know I only got $2,000 to my name, but I'm going to be fine. I'm a survivor and I have survived a lot more, and I just was going to rock it. I knew it. And I just felt like God knew it too. Like, God's my biggest fan. Like, God's inside of me, leading me, thinking I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread. So, but what I did hear God was saying, start a meeting. I was like, dude, I got to find a job. I got to look for an apartment. So on my way home, driving to California, some guy that I barely know in AA says, hey, I'm looking for a house sitter for a month. I have an apartment by the lake. Do you want to move in there for a month? Yes, I do. Right. So I go move into this guy's apartment, and then I'm walking to the store, and this guy that I barely know from program says, hey, I'm a realtor and this apartment just came on. It's the same rent you were paying. Can you want to look at it? Yes, I do. I walked literally right over there and I said, I'll take this apartment. Nobody else even looked at it yet. It was a condo on the lake with the lake view. It was beautiful. The nicest apartment I've ever had in my price range. And it was like, shouldn't have been that price. So I'm like, okay, now I'm going to find a job. But all I kept hearing was start a meeting. So this is what I did. I said, I asked a couple, COVID was starting, but you know how you're in your own world and it's like all this outside stuff. Same thing happened to me September 11th. I'm just that self-centered. It takes me a while to realize, oh, there's a debilitating disease and there's this virus going around, right? But I'm meanwhile trying to get an apartment and a job. So I'm like, start a meeting. I'm like, what, me? How am I going to start a meeting? So I asked some OA friends. They didn't want to do it. You know, it's hard to do service in Chicago. No offense, Chicago. I love Chicago, but not the greatest OA. So anyway, so I said, I don't know. I guess I'll make a flyer. Like, I don't know. I'll make a flyer. Now I've got a big mouth. I got lots of friends and I'm going to send it to everybody I knew in OA. I'm going to go on Facebook and I'm going to look for the OA groups and I'm going to put it there. And I'm just going to tell my friends like, hey, I'm going to start a meeting. Do you want to start? And it was, I think it was the 9th or 10th. Cause we, today is our like 2-year birthday. And what happened was like 5 or 6 people came the first night. It was supposed to be just once a week. I was just going to find some speakers because, and part of this probably came from, I could do this better, you know, and the meetings were all closing in Chicago. We still don't have any in-person OA meetings. So I was like, okay, those five people showed up. There was one person I knew, the other 4 I didn't know. And this is how it started. You want to come back tomorrow? Because some of them were really suffering and I had this new life, this love, and I have things to say and I have things to talk about. And if you'll listen to me, I'll talk. And they like me and I like them. And then the next time somebody brought a friend, and then it was 7, and then it was 8. And then the name originally was Together We Get Better, but that didn't look so good on the flyer. So I changed the flyer to Better Together. I made the flyer look like the book, right? And I probably passed the flyer out to 1,000 people. Well, what started happening was like 5 people, 10 people. It kind of stayed small for a while and it was so fun. And we had the regulars come. And the first guy we ever had, I think his name was Keith. Well, I don't know. This is a longer story. I got to tell you this quick story. I know I'm out of time. I'm so sorry. Okay. I'm trying to hurry. But okay. So at one of the meetings, this guy showed up. I thought he was a Zoom bomber, right? He's sitting in the dark. He's in the basement. I'm like, are you a Zoom bomber? He's like, what's a Zoom bomber? I didn't even know really what a Zoom bomber is. But the other 7 of us were all girls. And we, who's this guy, right? Like, I don't know who this guy is. And so he's like, no, my name's Jeff. Well, he had the most beautiful voice. I'm going to fast forward this whole story. Okay. But like I met him April 9th. So a month after the meeting started. Now we're engaged 2 years later. We're going to get married. Like, my God, he proposed on Zoom. It's crazy. But at my 20th year, there's a longer story there too, but I'm just telling you some of the basics because I want to hurry up. And how the meeting grew was literally word of mouth and people loved it. And the other thing is I get asked to speak a lot. I have one of those crazy stories where people want to hear it all the time. And I guess I have a good way of delivering it. And I had the self-confidence and I knew, like, I often feel, you guys, like I could have any job in the world, but this is my real thing. Like, my job is to stay sober, stay absent, help other people and tell because God knows you got a big mouth. Let me use it for my glory. Okay. I'm going to use it. So this meeting got bigger and I went and spoke in Canada and then I spoke in some other places. And then pretty soon I was telling people come to Better Together. Then it started coming. And then before you know it, I mean, some nights it's up to 300 people now a night from all over the world. Now here's the pros and cons. I'll tell you what I did wrong. The biggest thing I did wrong the first year, I felt like this meeting was a lot about me. Oh, the Chicago meeting. Oh, it's Kimmy's meeting, blah, blah, blah. I picked all the speakers. I had all the commitments. I was the host. I did everything and I was really good at it. And it gave me a lot of love and joy and I wasn't working and I had plenty of time to put into this. Plus I had this cute boy coming here, right? Like it was great. All right. But then there's slowly other people came in who know something a little more than I do about the traditions and the spirit of rotation. And they're like, let's change the meaning. Well, it was very important for me to be like, I want to be welcoming and I want the newcomer to feel okay, no matter what they're doing, no matter what they're eating, no matter what they're doing with food. I want to say the same things like addiction, a connection is the opposite of conviction. We wanted it to be like cheers. So every time somebody would come in the room, we'd be like, hi, Susie, how are you? We wanted people to feel like we knew their name. And that's what happened. We have a friendly, enthusiastic meeting. Now it has 5 different hosts a week. Other people have all the service jobs. I probably got into 20 arguments with some guy who wanted to change it all up, you know, but he was right. And I learned a lot of lessons and I learned that this God told me start a meeting. God didn't tell me control it, run it, do it every night, do, you know. And I got another job that kept me away from it for a while. And that was really hard to let go. So I guess that was my biggest mistake, is waiting so long to let go of control, but I have, and now I enjoy it a lot more. And it's a beautiful thing. And it really doesn't have anything to do with me. I started a flyer, but I do feel like I take credit a lot for the highs and the welcoming, because I feel like that's a really good thing. Now we have a phone list of 1,000 people, and we have a Facebook group and lots of little pockets and meetings, and people are getting help, and they love it. They love it every night. So I hope you guys come. I'm sorry I took too long. And I hope I said something useful. That's it. Thanks.
Kimmy, thank you for sharing how that all started. It's an amazing story. We'll open the floor for questions after our next speaker, Michelle. And Michelle's going to share the screen, her screen, and show us some of the resources that are available for starting and supporting meetings, both on OA.org and on SOAR 8. And I will turn it over to Michelle D. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin. Yes, Michelle, compulsive overeater. And here in Central Arkansas, we have ebbs and flows to the number of meetings that we have. We have ebbs and flows to the number of people who are committed to doing OA. Right now we are in an ebb. We do not have a lot of action right now in Central Arkansas. And I have to lift this up to my higher power regularly, because I will start polishing that worry that, you know, our meetings are getting smaller. And I'm concerned about, you know, the level of commitment. It's almost like a feedback loop that I fear that we're in, but it's not anything that I can solve by myself. And I recognize that the times when Arkansas was most healthy were when we were having folks do service. And so it has been my experience that getting people connected to service has been the most effective tool in keeping people at the meeting, getting energy into the meetings, and growing meetings. And so that's probably the number one thing that I would recommend to folks if they are interested in, you know, our experience here in Arkansas. One of the things that I'm going to suggest, fingers crossed, at our intergroup meeting on Saturday is that we host the upcoming Region 8 Assembly in the spring, so a year from now. Every time we have hosted a Region 8 Assembly, it has been on faith alone, because we are a small group, and it has really been transformative every time we have done it. And it provides a lot of good service opportunities for folks. And that gets them tapped in and connected to little jobs. And that seems to be like the thing that can hook and keep people then connected. And then they're connected to recovery through that avenue. So that is my hot tip from Central Arkansas, and as far as my experience goes. So now I'll transition to, I am Region 8 Treasurer, and I want to give you an understanding of things that are available to you if you care to take advantage of them. All right, can you see my Google Doc here? Give me a thumbs up or a head shake. Okay, super. So there are several links here that are on OA.org that we can go through. But first, I want to go to our region website. So region8.org, we have financial resources to help intergroups or recovery groups get started. And we have access to those funds with this button that's right up here where it says Intergroup Help. If you click there, you will see a whole list of resources available to support recovery in your area, to support the still suffering compulsive overeater. We have funding available to send representatives from your intergroups to a Region 8 Assembly. And we have one coming up April 1st through 3rd, where is our next Region 8 Assembly. We have money available for public information campaigns, like if you want to do a bus bench ad, a newspaper ad. There was somebody who suggested, and it's another thing that I'm going to take to my intergroup Saturday, having ads on the grocery carts know, they have now those little slots that you can put ads in. I thought that was a really cool idea. Carry the message funds. The carry the message funds will bring people with solid recovery and experience, strength, and hope to share to you, to wherever you are, a workshop, a Super Saturday, a retreat, that kind of thing. That's what the carry the message funds are there for. So, you know, if you're a small group and you don't have the money, it's available to you here. Delegate Support Fund, this money helps you send representatives to the WSBC conference. And so that's another layer of Eaters Anonymous that's available for financial assistance. And then finally, we have two new grants that we just implemented in Region 8. First is a special project grant. This would be if you need technology, if you need to have more funds beyond what the public information, public outreach has available. So we have money available for special projects. It's like a big, huge, generic category of money. We also have started an interpretation fund. This is specifically for being able to translate from English to Spanish to Portuguese. If we have that kind of need in your, you know, particular area, this is really mostly used for our assemblies to offer interpretation services to the recovery meetings that are going to be coming, or the representatives that are going to be coming to our assembly, so that we can have it available in the language that they're most comfortable with. So that's the money that's available. There are links to go to the form. It tells you who to send it to. So hopefully it's streamlined for you to be able to access if you need it. So again, that's at oaregion8.org. And I will share all of these links with you whenever I get a chance here at the conclusion of this meeting. Let's see, what else have I got for you? We want this one. Okay, so OA.org. So OA.org has, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. They have all of these resources available for us. There is literally how to start a meeting at OA.org. There's even a new group starter kit. Talks you through how you become a group. So there are informations available there. I put the new group starter kit direct link in here. Here's where you would register your meeting. I put that direct link in here. Group resources. Let's go see what's over there. So this talks about the 12 steps, the 12 traditions, 12 concepts. And then there's a document library. I believe I've got that bookmarked in here too, right? So there's printable PDFs. And so the category that we want is group resources. Enter. Let's do 50. So we've got carrying the message, we've got budgets, we've got newsletters, we've got group inventory, we've got our invitation to you, we've got a strong checklist. These are suggested meeting format. There's a direct link there as well. So those are the things that I have for y'all that I'm going to go ahead. I'll just go ahead and copy and paste this right into the chat right now. How does that sound? And that is what I have to bring you. And I'm happy to answer questions.
Thanks so much, Michelle. Thanks, Kimmy. So I'd like to open the floor for sharing if you either want to use the raise hand feature in the reactions down at the bottom of the page, or raise your hand and I'll call on you individually. Questions, information to share. Roz, go ahead.
I would like the ID number, and if there's a password from the Better Together meetings, if I could, and I have to figure out, because I'm on the East Coast with the central weather. Central time is 2 hours earlier than me, or 2 hours late? It's 2 hours earlier, correct?
It would be 9 o'clock your time every night. So it's
9 o'clock.
Okay. I'm putting the ID and password in the chat.
Okay, thank you. I want you to ask Michelle something. When I started a big book meeting down here, as well as a meeting when I lived in Boston, we received $50. I would imagine it's from Intergroup, because I had no idea what region was really about. But now you have to pay in order to open a meeting to get the whole shebang? Is that what you're telling me? $20 to open and register?
You don't have to register. You don't have to pay to register. That $20 is just to get information that's in a packet for your meeting.
Okay.
And so that's what that's all about.
So there was a grant thing. I can't write as fast as I hear, so then I have to go back and check it. There is help to get books back to your area to hand out to members?
Correct.
Do they give you a certain amount, or you have to prove that you're giving them, or is it just 12 and 12s? Is it the big book? What is it actually? Do you know?
Right. So if you go to the form, it does guide you through questions.
Okay.
That, you know, that's the kind of information that would be gathered. And then that information would be filtered through a committee that would review it and then provide the authorization for that distribution of funds.
Okay.
We have a lot of funding available in Region 8. We are flush. And so we are eager to help the still suffering compulsive overeater. If this is relevant to you in any way, I encourage you to take advantage of it.
Thank you. And I understand that a new pamphlet is coming out about food plans. I'm not thrilled with that.
I don't have any information on that. Yeah. Sorry, Roz.
I mean, like Kimmy, I hated myself, you know. I shared today and I said, I haven't cried in a long time, and that one little tear didn't want to go away, but I'm beyond that. You know, I love myself today, no matter what the wrinkles look like, no matter what the flab looks like, I love myself. And I knew nothing about region, except I went to a couple of weekend things up in New York or Canada or whatever from Region 8. I have a new admiration for what this program has become, because I came in 83 when they didn't have a lot of literature, a lot of this, a lot of that. But I've learned so much about the inner workings of it and the structure of it. And getting them, my members, to start to read the concepts at each intergroup meeting. And I actually had downloaded on subpart A and subpart B. And I think that should be a whole meeting in itself when people are looking for ideas of what to do. It is amazing what this is, absolutely amazing. And I'm so glad. Today I got a new sponsee. I just have to tell you something really cute, not else for me. At 7 o'clock, I'm going on to a meeting. It has nothing to do with OA, but it is to help somebody, like to nurture somebody who's had a family commitments and they're now becoming better parents, but they need somebody who's structured in their life and has a good life going on. And every day in my formal prayers, because I talk to my higher power informally many, many times, like, really? Again? You know, that kind of thing. But these are formal. And that if you feel I am worthy enough, I'm here to help another suffering person. And it doesn't say it had to be an OA. This morning I got a new sponsee, and tonight I'm going to open myself and go help somebody else. So, you know, it's just that I had a busy life when I was younger. Now I'm 77 and I'm not sure what the heck is going on in my life, but I just love coming to these IGWA meetings. I learned so much, especially from you, Michelle, with all the knowledge that you have. I don't know, you have that big computer in your head there, but to hear people from different areas and what they've done, go for it, Kimmy. Thank you so much. I'm done. I'm going to just drink my water.
Thank you, Roz. Does anybody have other experience? Okay, Ingrid. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. So happy to be here. Thank you, Michelle and Kimmy, for your shares. And well, first, I want to answer Rose about her question about the new pamphlet. Yes, now it's available. It's a new plan of eating. It's a new plan of eating, spiritual, emotional, and physical journey. You can buy it on www.oa.org.
Thank you.
Okay. And I want to ask you something, Michelle. Yesterday, I was talking with a friend, and well, she's a fellow, and we are in our intergroup. And she told me, she gave me a good idea. I told to her about these meetings, and she said that it will be possible the next coming meeting to have the interpreter service, because they want to come and they want to learn also. And I say, okay, I think that it's a great idea, and I know that they will say yes. So how we have to do it? We have to send a message to Sarah and Melissa?
The next Region 8 Assembly and Convention already has in place interpretation services. And if you want to have interpretation services for other things like our committee meetings, then yes, you would use the forms that I showed you at oaregion8.org. And there's a form in Portuguese and a form in Spanish for interpretation services that could be used.
Okay. For example, for the next meeting of IGWA, mm-hmm. and they can come. Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I would like to ask the coming convention, of recovery convention, we will have a interpreter service for all the convention.
Yes.
Oh, great.
Yes. Memphis so has
from the beginning to the end, all workshops, all chair, all.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yeah. It's really beautiful what Memphis has put into place. So please do let everybody know that they're going to have it in their own language and that they should come.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ingrid, for your questions and Michelle for the answers. Anybody else have some thoughts on meetings that they've started in their area that they want to share, or have questions for Michelle or Kimmy?
Trish has a question.
Trish, okay. I missed the hand up.
Hi, everyone. I'm Trish, a compulsive overeater. I live in Merritt Island, Florida, and I'm part of Space Coast Intergroup. I need some help. I started a meeting last June, so it's coming up on a year. And I have it in Cocoa Beach, Florida, on the beach. We have a park, so there, it's free. It opens at 7 a.m., and it's free parking, facilities. I think it's a great spot for a meeting. And I'm originally from New Jersey, and I have a shore house. I still have it. Matter of fact, we're probably going to be selling it soon, but still have a shore house in New Jersey. And we used to have these OA beach meetings in New Jersey. And whenever I was at my shore house, I would go to these meetings, and they were fantastic. So anyway, I started this meeting last June in Cocoa Beach. It's on a Sunday. And we just changed it to Sunday. Somebody else was helping me out, and we used to do Saturday. I got a job with the cruise lines, and we have ships in port on Saturday. I can't come. So she didn't want to come because of winter, so we switched it to Sunday. So that hasn't helped the situation. So anyway, it's just not getting people there. You would think that with being on the beach, free parking, etc. And I'm not sure what I should do. Maybe my expectations were a little too high, thinking of the New Jersey beach meetings. But I know you guys don't live at the beach, but any suggestions? I keep thinking maybe tourists will show, but I think that's what I would do if I was on vacation. I might look up OA.org and look for a meeting in the area of my vacation. And a lot of people vacation in Cocoa Beach, Florida, or around this area. So I haven't had any tourists. I've had several local people. The biggest meeting we had was maybe 5 people. But now, basically, because it's winter and it's not that cold here. It's still not that cold. I say, a kid with my boyfriend, I come home and he says, how many people showed up? Anybody show up at your meeting? And I say, yeah, the Holy Trinity, me, myself, and I. It's just me. But I take that time and I sit there and read and enjoy the beach. So any suggestions, greatly appreciated. Thank you.
So, Roz, you're unmuted. Did you want to share?
No, I'm sorry.
I'm going to share an experience that we've had here in Chattanooga, and our meetings have been up and down. And we have somebody who's similar to Kimmy in terms of being a cheerleader, who will drive meeting attendance for some meetings. And so we have a chat line too, where we share information, and that helps us. We started a body image meeting about a year and a half ago for just the women. And it's on a Wednesday, and we put it on OA.org and had it registered and put it on OA.org. And we have people attending our meeting. It's not a big meeting. It's probably largest we've had is 10 people maybe, but we have a lady from New York who's pretty much of a regular, somebody from Kansas City who's pretty much of a regular. And then we updated the information on all our meetings on OA.org, and that also made it easier for people to find them. There are Zoom meetings, and this Wednesday is only on Zoom, so that helps. And so having somebody who's really a cheerleader getting the word out has helped some of ours, just as that's my experience at any rate. And I'll pass on that. If anybody has anything else, other ideas?
I'm Carol H. from, I'm physically in Monroe near Charlotte, North Carolina, but I belong to the, I'm still the chair of Southwest West Alabama Intergroup in Mobile, Alabama. And we have a very small group of people there. And I'm like Robin, we have some meetings that, if we get 5 people there, we consider it good. But lately with Zoom, we have found that we have 4 regular members now that are all over the United States. And I guess what I wanted to say was that I think that we have to sort of hang in with some of those meetings and be happy with 5 or 6 people or, just whatever shows up. Because it will cycle, we'll have a large group. We had 12 and I think one time we had 16 people at a meeting, and that lasted a couple of times. But if we're there when they're looking for something, that's to me and that's to us the important thing. And so we just hang in there. And I would just encourage, I guess when the numbers go down, that's when we need to start looking at those other ways of letting it be known. And some of those, I know we don't advertise, but we do outreach. So I don't know what else to use, but different ways of contacting people and everything like that. And Zoom meetings have been fantastic because we do get people dropping in all over. And like Kimmy said, that initial contact, that making everybody feel welcome, that's what these people from the other areas have said about our group, that they feel so welcome at our meeting, that they like coming back. And now they're basically making us one of their regular meetings. So I know that's not much help, but it's encouraging to know that we're not gonna let numbers ruin our meetings. I guess that's what I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thanks, Carol. Whoops, Max is true. Hey, Michelle, go ahead.
All right. So the only other suggestion that I might have for the question on the table is if you're connected to an intergroup, that it would be helpful that intergroup make a commitment to attend, even if they're not going to be regulars, even if it's not going to be their home meeting. If you could have the officers maybe rotate through, you know, one takes March, the other takes April, and the, you know, so that there's more than, you know, just you alone, and that there's, you know, at least a couple people there, and that might be something that would be helpful, to have more than one voice whenever you do get somebody to come and attend the meeting. So you might reach out to your intergroup if you're affiliated with an intergroup.
I'll just add one thing. We've had a few people in our group who are also talking to folks in AA, because several of them have found that as they got off of alcohol, they started binging on sugar. And so it was an opportunity to make a connection. And I've heard there's some great AA meetings on the beach in Florida. So it'd be fun to maybe invite some of them, just as a thought.
Yeah, I would, just first of all, your life sounds amazing. P.S. I would love to be on the beach in Florida working for the cruise ship. How cool is that? And I don't know why people aren't on the beach. I'm going to come tomorrow. So I want to go on my honeymoon to somewhere in Florida. So you just let me know about that place. And but I was thinking, like, do you have a flyer or anything? Or is it just word of mouth? Because, and certainly send me something. I'm happy to tell other people about it.
Well, you know, I don't have a flyer, but I did like your idea, and I could make one. That's a great idea. Actually, I don't have a flyer. We do have, I am affiliated with an intergroup. It's the Space Coast Intergroup, and we have our own website, and it's listed on there. And then it's, of course, it's registered with OA.org, so people could find it if they were visiting our area.
Do you have a lot of in-person meetings there?
We have quite a few. We have a lot of Zoom meetings still. And we do have, like, in my town, Merritt Island, which is small, really, it's a small island off Cocoa Beach. We have two meetings a week, separate locations. So we have two meetings right here in Merritt Island, but we have other ones, Titusville and some other areas by us. Yeah, we have quite a few. It's listed on our spacecoast.org, oaspacecoast.org.
I don't know if this is helpful, but it might just be like competition on that night. You know what I mean? Like, when we had meetings in person, it seemed like they were all on Sunday night at 5 or 6. So we needed a meeting like on Friday night or Tuesday night.
Right.
But.
Well, this is Sunday morning, 8 a.m.
Oh, that's now, a that great could be time an issue. For a meeting on the beach.
I think so.
Debbie Compulsive Eater, the other idea I have is that maybe you can reach out to other meetings, people that you know, and ask them to be a speaker. And so maybe, you know, kind of ask people to come and speak. That might be, I mean, I know the feeling. When I moved to Georgia, I'm used to, well, I don't like huge meetings. I came from a huge meeting years ago, and I don't like big meetings, but I'm not used to 4 or 5 either. So, I had one where, you know, there was times I know what it's like to be the only one opening up and there's nobody there. And now we have a core of people. And, it's, you know, it's time and just, you know, asking people to come or, you know, needing support, different things. But I know I had one that it dwindled. COVID just kind of hit it. You know, we just couldn't get traction. And so it's, I know the feeling. I mean, I don't know about, it's interesting with hybrids, like somebody else had shared, when COVID hit, one of our meetings went hybrid, went just to Zoom, and then we had people from all over. And now we're in hybrid, which is difficult. I find it difficult, but we still have people that want to come from other areas and drop in. So we're trying to make the hybrid work, which is difficult. And I don't think it would work on a beach, but you know, maybe just trying to have speakers from the Florida area and see if that will be a help. So that's all I have. Sorry.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. I appreciate it. And I'm hanging in there. I figure I'll wait till at least June. That's 1 year, and discuss it with some other OAers in the intergroup and go from there.
Pam, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Pam. I you know, if I lived closer, I'd be there, but I'm in Florida, but not close to Cocoa Beach, so unfortunately. But I was gonna just ask you, you know, what do you call your meeting? Because if I'll tell you, if I was in the Cocoa Beach area and looking for an OA meeting, and I stumbled upon a meeting that was listed called like Recovery on the Beach or something, I'd be there. You know, it would just describe for me the perfect experience. So anyway, I think that I agree with what everybody else has said about having a cheerleader, getting the word out, doing the flyer, letting other meetings advertise your meeting for you. Say, here's a meeting that could use some support, getting the intergroup involved. Everything that everybody's mentioned are all really, really, really good tips. But, you know, but sometimes you just have to, you know, live in what we were talking at the beginning. I think Michelle said something about, you know, sometimes we have to live in the ebb, you know, and just wait for the flow. So, you know, just I think if you just hang in there and have faith, maybe it'll come around.
Thank you all so
much. I don't have a name for the meeting.
That's great. So are there any other questions, last suggestions or ideas before we close? Ingrid, go ahead.
I want to take advantage that Michelle is here. Michelle, we feel out the format to request funds for our delegate from our intergroup to WSBC. But I'm not sure if I sent to her the wrong format, because I sent to her the format that we use when we want to represent, when we want to be delegate from the region. Is the same?
So yes, so the form to WSBC conference is actually the one that OA has, OA.org has. You just send it to me instead of WSO, and you know we'll be the ones that will be able to fund.
Okay, and yeah, because we talked about this last time when we met, but now I have both formats and I'm going to send you both for the assembly and also for the WSBC in the same email, but are different formats. Okay, thank you.
Awesome. Thanks.
Well, thank you all again for being here this evening. I'm so happy we could record this information. It'll be available for other people to get ideas as well. And hopefully, I will see you all at the next TIP session, which will be held on May 19th, on how to encourage intergroups to send representative to Region World Service Convention. April 1st is the SOAR 8 Recovery Convention Business Assembly. I hope folks are registering for that. And as I said, recordings of this session will be available on the SOAR 8 website following. And I'm not sure, I'm sure it'll be a week before it's up there. Or maybe longer when our chairperson gets back and gets a chance to see it too. So thank you all for being here, Michelle and Kimmy, especially for your shares and your presentations. And I will close the session. Let's close it with the Serenity Prayer, if that's okay. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change,
the courage to change
the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
I will not mind be done. Thank you. Thank you, Robin.
Thank you all. Thank you,
everyone. Kimmy, Michelle, everyone.
Thank you, Kimmy.
Nice to see you, Ingrid.
Here, everybody.
Oh, lovely.
Thank you so much, everybody.
Bye, Carol. Bye. Thanks.
Thanks for hosting us, Robin and Carol.
Happy to do it. Thanks, Carol, for all of your support.
Yeah. Bye, y'all.
We'll find out if I can do all the rest of it.
Huh?
We'll find out if I can do all the rest of it.
Hey, if you need help or whatever, don't hesitate to ask. And Sarah will be back in a week. So
yeah, you did a great job, Robin. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your support. Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Goodbye.